Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Talk it! Come on, you yellows, flying high below this Wembley archway sky today.
Welcome to the original, the Talker United Yellow Army podcast, brought to you each week by Guy Henderson of Radio X and Richard Hughes of the Herald Express and Devon Live.
Thanks, Guy. And what do?
We talk you through the latest news from Playmore. We chat to the people making the news around the club. You can find us on the Devon Live and Radio X websites, on Spotify, on iTunes, and wherever you normally get your podcasts.
Welcome to an in-car podcast. The last press conference of the season has just taken place. We're joined in the mobile studio, which is getting quite warm, by the way.
It is. We might have to open a window at some point.
We're joined by our old friend and colleague, David Thomas. David, thank you for joining us.
Pleasure. Pleasure. I'm just about to go from here into the final retro goals meeting of the season, for which I'm more than well qualified. I'm sad to say.
You're not suggesting goals. It was named for you, are you?
No.
We're speaking on the Thursday after the Tuesday, a massive game at Taunton. We'll talk about it in some detail. Coming up on Saturday, Torquay are at home to Havant and Waterlooville, who've already been relegated. Mm-hmm. Torquay are safe. It did take me a while after the game, gents, to work this out. I hadn't realised that Taunton were playing Hemel on Saturday, and it was Paul Bastard, thankfully, who pointed it out to me and put me at my ease that we are safe.
Good.
So thanks for that.
Both win.
No, it hurt my brain trying to work it out the other day, put it that way.
So Aaron Downes has just given what will be his last pre-match press conference of the season, talking about the Havant game, talking about Taunton, and talking a little bit about what might happen in the future. Although, to be fair, I don't think he knows what's happening any more than we do. And that is another thing that we'll address a little bit later on. But we'll be back on the other side of Aaron Downes.
Aaron, I don't think there's any other place that we can start apart from Taunton on Tuesday night.
Yes, there's good, a big result, a massive result, and I'm sure a weight off a lot of people's shoulders, mine included. It's something that we targeted a few weeks ago, a few months ago, something we would have liked to have done earlier, if I'm being completely honest. Something we probably could have done a bit earlier as well, but I stand by what I said, and I don't want to bring a downer on things, but I do apologise to people, and we from where we started at pre-season to it culminating on Tuesday night was not the season we envisaged happening, that's for sure, for multiple reasons, that being performances, but off the pitch stuff as well. So it's been an uncertain and an interesting season, shall we say, but the most important thing for me when I took over 2 months ago was to make sure that we keep the club in the division, and we were able to do it with a game to spare, and we were able to clinch that on Tuesday night, and there was a big collective effort, and a lot of people played their part, and so really happy, not content with Torquay United having to beat Taunton away to stay in the division. Without any disrespect to anybody there, we shouldn't be having to do that, but we found ourselves in a situation, and a lot of people pulled through when it really mattered, so really proud of a lot of people.
Has the rapid change in circumstances been difficult to adapt to at all? Because like you mentioned, obviously pre-season, obviously seems a long time ago. It was a long time ago. Now, obviously, we set our sights on promotion. It's not as if the team has suddenly not been picking up points. 10 points were instantly taken off. Did that change? Because before that, we were still looking at outside chance of the playoff. Then suddenly, the attention shifts, and it is all about staying in the division. Is that anything that had that been difficult to adapt to at all?
I've enjoyed the period I've been in charge. I must say that it's so. I don't think it's been a period of complete and utter chaos from my point of view. I feel I've enjoyed it, and I've grown into it, and you know, would we have liked to have gotten more results? Of course, definitely. But we have picked up some important results as well that has secured the you know, the safety of the football club. It's not obviously our sights were firmly set on promotion at the start of the season, and you know, we failed that. You know, we can't deny that for whatever reason. And then there's off the field issues that you can't, you know, legislate for. You can't predict, and you get thrown into a situation where you've got to be stood up. You've got to stand up, and you've got to be counted for. Whether that's myself, whether that's players, whether, you know, like we all had to. And there's things that you can't control, outside things you can't control, that have been put upon us, and how people react to that is very difficult to predict, and very difficult to control. So it's really been important that, you know, first and foremost, I've said all along that I make sure that we've got the players' mindset correct to go out and perform, and I think in general we've had that. So that's sort of, you know, the hand we've been dealt. We've had to just sort of get on with it. So, you know, you have to adjust quickly, and that's what we've had to do at times. And we've, you know, achieved the short term target that I had when I took over of securing the safety of the football club. That's sort of where I was sort of thrown in at, and we've achieved that.
You obviously mentioned then that you didn't want it to be played out like it was, where it was almost a win or bust situation, a tournament, both teams going for the same goal. However, it has produced, your team did produce the goods when it mattered. It's been described as spirited, it's a gutsy performance, but there was quality out there as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, there's definitely quality. I mean, both goals, you know, if you take them at face value, were very good quality, very good quality. And there was one or two other moves that we had that was good quality as well. And the pitch was a lot better than what we expected, but it was still lively, and it was a lot drier than we expected, if I'm honest. And again, this is not meaning any disrespect to Taunton, because they've had a difficult season themselves. And it's a shame to see both clubs where they were on the night, but both were fighting it out, and as you say, spirited, a lot of commitment, a lot of passion shown, a lot of dedication the players were putting in for themselves, for their teammates, but for the football club as well. And they acquitted themselves really professionally and really well. And amongst all that sort of hustle and bustle and effort was, as you say, some quality moments. You know, Brett's goal and Ace's goal were fantastic moves. And you take set plays, it was a planned set play that we'd worked on the Monday. That doesn't always come off, but you know, when really needed to, it come off. You know, a great execution from Brett, and a really good you know, sort of move from Asa, with a couple of people playing their parts with regards to being in the right position at the right time, and it allowed Asa to be free in the middle of the goal to score a goal. And you know, if you want a couple of people to be in the areas they were to score them goals, you want Brett on the edge of the box with a shot, and you want Ace to be in the box on the end of a corner. So you know, proved successful for us on the night, and we're really happy that that's put to bed, and we can, you know, move on to Saturday in a positive frame of mind, hopefully enjoy ourselves and sort of put an end, a full stop to this season, and we've now secured the safety of the football club. So we now know what division we're going to be in, at least, and we can hopefully use this now to push on and move forward as a football club.
It was obviously a team effort on Tuesday night. The whole squad was there cheering on the players, and there was a lot of instructions coming from the bench from players that weren't even involved in the matchday squad. So it's wrong to pinpoint the success on any one individual, but Hal Key has Ace been. He's obviously the club captain, he's been here the longest. He's actually recently been shifted back into defence when he's not been on the sidelines, assisting you from there. So how important has his influence been in recent weeks?
And you'll notice I got booked on Tuesday night as well, and I absolutely did nothing wrong. So thanks to the players for screaming and shouting, and the referee came over and went, "It's not you, Aaron, but it's the other people." And he booked me. Oh, thanks, Norris. It cost me a tenner or whatever it is. So, but I'll take it. But no, it was Ace had been instrumental. He's been fantastic, you know, and it was just that he was the one that secured the safety of the football club, because he you know, he said in his post-match interview he loves the club, and he does, and he does a lot for this football club, and he's a club legend. He'll go down in history of a name, and I'm sure he's disappointed as everybody to see where we are at this moment in time. But he's been phenomenal for me, on and off the pitch, and I'm really grateful for his help. And I spoke to him this morning and said, you know, how. It sounds patronising when I say proud of him I am, but I am, because he's only a couple of years or a year or two younger than me, but I am, even though he looks about 10 years younger than me, but I was proud of him, and he stood up at the moment, and I pulled a couple of the boys and I says, I need my experienced boys tonight, you know, and they stood up to it. I thought Mox was fantastic, Mark and Goal. And a few others like Laps and Ace were really good and really experienced players, went about the business really professionally, so I really thank them because they put an unbelievable selfless sort of couple months in for this football club, and really appreciative of them.
The support again was absolutely fantastic on Tuesday night. They made it feel like a home game. I guess it's somewhat fitting then that the dramatic campaign actually ends right here at Playmore on Saturday.
Yeah, like I say, I couldn't have asked for any more support than what I've had from our supporters since I've took over, and they've really helped a lot at times, and Tuesday night was sort of the pivot, the peak of their sort of powers, really, when they were cheering us on. We give them something to cheer about for once, you know, we're 2-0 up. And then obviously even when it went 2-1, they were really vocal and cheered us home. So I can't thank them enough. And we've got some really good supporters, and I hate individualising or picking one person out, but one person this season has been a pillar of strength for me is Paul Bastard. You know, every away game he's at the bus waiting for us and giving real good sound advice, and I'm sure he's been a sounding board for a lot of supporters at away games and at home games, and you know, he's been a pillar of strength for numerous players and staff, so thank him. But I think so many messages I've received of support from our fans, and I wish I could thank them all individually, but I am very appreciative of it, and I can't thank them enough. And whatever happens come the end of the season, it's been a really good couple of months for me as far as enjoyment, and the support of that is been fantastic. So thank you to everybody that's sent a message or a letter or an email or in person said thank you, because it does mean a lot, and it's nice to hear. I appreciate everyone that has taking the effort to reach out.
And finally, there could be some onlookers that look at this fixture on Saturday, because let's remember we've still got one more game to play this season. Havant and Waterlooville obviously already gone down. Ourselves, thankfully, are safe, and they may say, there's nothing to play for, that's going to be a bit of a damp squib. But it doesn't really feel like that. Does it feel like, almost like the shackles off, that there's now a real opportunity for the players to express themselves, almost being a celebration here at Playmore without over-egging things, that actually, you know, we can be together as one for one final time before going into the summer break, and obviously starting off a win would be fantastic, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to sound disappointed, but let's get it right. You know, we can celebrate being safe, but we can't celebrate the season. We can celebrate being safe and looking forward to the future as a football club. Definitely, it's a game we want to win. it's absolutely a game we want to win. And the players know that. The players, if they don't know it already, which I've told them, they will know it by Saturday. And they want to make sure that we can finish this season as positive as possible and move forward into the summer, at least sending our supporters home with a victory and trying to salvage a little bit of the season, but definitely end on a positive note. And I know the players well, and I know that they'll be wanting to win this football match. We won't want to just, you know, drift off it, you know, and let the season just end on a sort of a negative note. So we'll be doing everything we can in training to make sure that we're ready, prepared, and we'll approach it like every other. And I know it sounds cliche, oh, it's just, you know, it's another game, but it is. We've got to make sure that we are as passionate and as committed and work just as hard as any other game to make sure that we get a victory on Saturday, because it is important. Every game's important. Every game's important. Because you never know when your last one is. So we've got to make sure that we do everything we can to win that football match and approach it the same professional attitude. And then afterwards, we can all walk around, clap the supporters after a victory, hopefully. Clap the supporters, thank them, shake their hands, have a beer with them in the bar, whatever it is. And know that we've played our part in securing the safety of the football club. And hopefully we can end on a positive note so we can move forward in a positive manner as a football club. And that's the most important thing, that as and when the club's future is secured and made known, then we can move forward knowing at least we've ended positively.
I'm a bit reluctant to ask you about the squad matters, because it's obvious that the squad is a little bit stretched. Obviously there's four names for the last two games. Are you envisaging anybody coming back in time for Saturday, or how's the squad?
Dwayne's very hopeful. We're hopeful that Dwayne should be back available for us. Everybody else has not been involved. Lewis Collins looks like he's going to struggle. Obviously, he had to come off with a head injury, so still getting assessed, but you know, it's doubtful, and it's one you don't want to risk when it's a head injury. You don't really want to risk. Aaron Jarvis has tried everything possible and he's working ever so hard, and it probably will be just a bit too early for him. Kevin Dawson's running and in a positive place, but again, it's probably just a little bit too early for him. And then the others, like Finn Krask, is progressing really well. Finn's going to St George's Park next week, and he should be back and fit in probably 2 or 3 weeks. As we know, that's not really relevant to us at the moment, but he's progressing really well, Finn, and obviously Ross Marshall suspended. So we go with what we've got. Hopefully one or two of the youth I'll have available to me, which I didn't have on Tuesday night, but hopefully we can have them available for Saturday. So we're very confident with who we've got available to play, that's for sure.
Aaron, just a couple of questions from me, so yeah. Following on from what you've said, I mean, you've spoken about how much you've enjoyed your time guiding the team. How much would it mean to you if you were still involved in the same way next season?
It's not really a question that I feels right to answer at the moment. You know, I've said numerous times it's not really about me. It's about the football club and the best thing for the football club. And people who take over, then they'll have decisions to make, and I'll allow them to make that decisions as and when that they, them, he, her, whoever it is, takes over, and then we can progress from there. I've enjoyed it. It's been a privilege. It's been an honour. But at the same time, whatever people think is the best thing for the football club, then I'll go with that. But what I do know is that whatever happens, I've given everything possible, and I've done everything possible to try and be successful.
What have you learned about yourself in the last couple of months?
That you never know if you're ready until you're in it, and I've felt ready. I felt I've handled it quite well. It's nothing's surprised me because I went into it expecting to be surprised all the time. So nothing has surprised me because I'm open to surprises. And you deal with whatever's thrown at you as and when it arises. So don't try and predict too much. Try and keep a calm, emotional sort of personality about yourself. And I feel, I don't know, without sounding arrogant, I feel like I've enjoyed it and done better than what I thought I would. Even though results could have been a little bit better, but I feel I've had good players around me and good people around me, so I've been lucky.
Regardless of whether it is you going forward or not, mm-hmm. football does move quite quickly, doesn't
yes.
it? And obviously there will be a lot of hunger to find out who's playing wise, who's staying, who's going. Do you know if you'll sort of be overseeing that retain list or how that might be working?
I don't know. I'm sorry, I can't elaborate. I literally don't know. So
that's
until
fine.
The owners, the people take over, then I don't know.
No. So that will be in place before anything on the pitch is sort of decided, you would think.
As much as me. Yeah, I would. I think. I don't know. They could ask me to make decisions now, but I don't know.
Okay.
So they're conversations that need to be had, obviously,
yeah.
because there's people's, futures. But as I said all along, we've got to have patience. We've got to have respect. Patience for the situation we're in, respect for the people making those decisions, of making sure they do the due diligence correctly, because we've got to get it right.
Well, good luck.
Thank you.
I was just going to elaborate a little bit on that one, really, because about this time of the season, we're always talking about not just retain lists, but contract discussions might have been underway for quite a while, talking to some of the youth players about contracts. That just hasn't been able to happen this season.
I addressed the youth team myself when all, and I says, usually you're talking to them at the start of April because they've got a lot of decisions to make, as and a lot of it pins around us. And I just said to them, unfortunately, guys, I'm really sorry. Yous have got to make your decisions and do what you need to do, but unfortunately, we're not going to be in a position to give yous answers until the club's issues are resolved. The ownership issues are resolved. So until then, it might not be me, it might be somebody else making those decisions. So we have to wait and see what appertains with that. And then regarding players, exactly the same situation. I've just asked for patience and respect from them and myself. So we're all in this together, really, as far as this situation. And that's why, as you say, you've alluded to there, that's why I can't speak high enough of the people that's been involved, because hand on heart, I've not had one player come up and go, I need to know what's going on, I need to know. No one's done that. Now, they're desperate to ask me. I know they are, and they're desperate to know, but not one of them's come up, and that just shows the character of the people involved, and that is why we're safe, because they've put that selfless sort of act forward, before themselves. So the club's sort of been before themselves.
So, interesting chat. Quite a lot of bases covered there, which we'll try and round up a little bit in our chat here. But one of the things that came out, for several people said, and David, you said to me yesterday, was that the biggest game since 1987 on Tuesday night in terms of significance? Do we think?
I think so.
Yeah?
I obviously, we've played some big, big games, Wembley, etc., 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 promotion back into the league, staying in this in the National League many mm-hmm. times, several great escapes. But I think in terms of where the club is in ownership, what's been happening off the field, what the future might have held if United had lost on Tuesday night and it had all gone wrong. Look, we're all of a certain age where we get bleary-eyed at the memories of some of the great games and the big occasions that we've witnessed here, most important occasions that we've witnessed here. But I think that has to be right up there.
Because the consequences of dropping... Are there any professional teams in Southern League Premier?
No.
So
not that I know of.
There are some big teams, don't get me wrong. So some teams that
do get decent sized crowds. Mm. But
as for full time teams,
no full time teams.
So that wouldn't have happened. We wouldn't have been the only.
It would have been an unlikely scenario to have a Talk United in the Southern League that was full time. You would have thought.
Correct.
Huge crowd of Torquay fans at Taunton on Tuesday night.
Of course, they bought tickets before the original match, which was three postponements.
November the 21st, it would have been, because that's my daughter's birthday. So we were going up for a big birthday night out. We ended up having that birthday night out on Tuesday. Huge turnout. Do you know there was a dog on the terraces?
Was there?
Behind, we are playing at a level where you can take your dog into a football match now in some places. And there was some talk when the 12 minutes of added time were added on at the end that maybe we should just unleash the dog in the spirit of Bryn onto the pitch. But the dog stayed with us. It was a huge game. They played well. I felt like I went to Bath last Saturday. I went to Taunton on Tuesday.
We both witnessed that non performance.
Well, I thought it was an absolute dishwater performance at Bath on Saturday. I know Aaron in his post-match, you know, there were positives that he drew from it. I think you feel things on the terraces, you feel the highs are higher, the lows are lower, and I came away from that really quite dispirited. Dave, did you?
I travel there by train, and I don't wish any sympathy at all for the fact that I had to stand all the way from Bath Spa to Bridgewater, including a change at Temple Meads. But I bumped into so many United fans. There were hundreds of them doing that trip. And it was a difficult, difficult thing to have to talk to them and try and calm them down in some cases, try and encourage them in some cases, try and sympathise with them in others. People were devastated on Saturday night after Bath. Not just the fact that we'd lost 1-0 to, you know, a Bath team, which, by the way, Jerry Gill, the manager, ripped into after the match because he was so unsatisfied with their performance.
Yeah.
And the fact that we couldn't get a result against a team that was pretty ordinary on the day. I think everybody, that just cranked up how everybody felt about Tuesday night. In other words, how on earth were we going to pick ourselves up and get a performance on Tuesday night with no new fit players coming in against a Taunton Town team that had beaten us 3-0 at Plainmoor not long ago?
And comfortably. They were comfortably better than we were at Plainmoor that day.
They stuffed us that night, didn't they? And so all credit, I think, to Aaron Downes, the usual soldiers, Ayaza Hall, Dean Moxey, Moxey was terrific at Bath on Saturday. If anybody else wins the Player of the Season award, I'm getting up and walking out.
He's got my vote. I voted for him.
I'm sorry, with apologies to all the other players.
I think they'd probably be in agreement anyway.
Is there a Player of the Season vote?
Yes, online.
It's online.
It's been going on.
Yeah, you can do that. I think you might have missed it, Guy, actually.
With all credit to them, and particularly to Aaron Downes, because he managed. It's been a desperate hand for him to have to play over the last few weeks, you know, that what he's picked up. And I know some fans have sort of been a bit judgmental about how he's handled things and how he's taught and everything. His main priority has been to try and keep a smile on people's faces and the players still together and trying as much as he possibly could. And I think he's done a good job in that respect. And thank goodness the majority of them turned up at Wordsworth Drive on Tuesday night, and we got a pretty good performance. I thought they were terrific in the first half on a very difficult pitch, by the way.
I was shocked.
We scored two stonkingly good goals. Yeah.
I was shocked, Dave. I didn't realise from standing at pitch level until I watched the highlights on YouTube how bad that pitch was.
It looked terrible. Yeah.
It was
but
awful.
Anyway, there we are. And to have, you know, players like Ethan Archer, who's you know, been very frustrating the last few weeks. He gave everything on Tuesday night in a role that new to him. He even won headers on Tuesday night. Brett McGavin won headers. Little Will Jenkins-Davies won headers. Brad Ash made a pretty good fist of playing on his own up front with a little bit more help.
Yeah.
I thought the move to Aaron's decision to switch Jack Stobbs from right to left, because he got very little out of him at Bath last Saturday, worked.
Yeah.
And funnily enough, Aaron was frustrated with himself because he said, I thought I maybe should have done it a little bit earlier at Bath on Saturday.
Yeah.
But, you know, I said, don't beat yourself up about that. And we got more out of Stobbs. It was just, you know, a good the performance that we needed from a very limited squad with only four subs on the bench.
And then one of those subs, Austin Booth making that tackle at the end.
We've been talking about that tackle ever since Tuesday.
Lewis Collins coming on the pitch and then getting ahead and not having to go straight back off again. You know, all of it contributed to a pretty extraordinary night, which I'm sure we'll be talking about in years to come.
Well, I think I said to you, Richard, on the night, I might have texted this to you in my euphoria after the game, that they played like they meant it on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And at Bath on Saturday, I don't think they did.
No.
You know, suddenly, out of nowhere, they conjured a performance that was full of determination. As Aaron's just said in his press conference, it was full of fight, which they haven't had for far too long this season.
Quite.
It was full of the kind of determination. You know, these players aren't, you know, to borrow a phrase of yours, Dave, we haven't got a Marco van Basten in there. So what they can do is work hard. And for too often this season, they haven't done it.
Yeah.
But Tuesday night, they absolutely did. And, yeah, it was quite inspiring Tuesday night, I thought. And while we mentioned Austin Booth and that tackle, I wonder if there was a little bit of history there, because Austin has come quite recently from Taunton, hasn't he?
He has, yeah.
He bought his contract out at Taunton to come to us.
And then he came on when we were beaten 3-0 as well, and got a bit of abuse from their fans on that day, so I'm sure it meant something special to him.
Good to see Aaron Jarvis in that incredibly crowded dugout. There were 12 people in that dugout, I think I counted.
And it was a dugout made for four, wasn't it?
It was like one of those, you know, when you watch the big match revisited and Terry Venables and about eight people are squashed into a little dugout all smoking fags. apart from the fags, it was like that on Tuesday night.
It was great. I mean, Jarvis was animated throughout the game. It obviously meant a lot to him as well. And you know, I think Aaron's already said that he was desperate to get back before the end of the season, but just wouldn't settle down, that problem.
Quote from Asa, there was quite a nice little video that the club did after the game on Tuesday with Asa Hall. He said it was his most important goal. I don't think anybody would argue with that.
No. It was a Tim Seals moment, wasn't it? But for other reasons.
Yeah, well, at the risk of going over the top here slightly, I think it was a training ground.
Absolutely. Aaron said that afterwards. Yeah, he said that was definitely a training. They've been working on that all week.
I'm still trying to work out what on earth the defender on the near post was doing that Hall ran across to get there.
Yeah.
If you watch it on the highlights, again, I was working this morning, but I did manage to squeeze in a quick look at the highlights. The centre-back has got hold of Asa. He got both his arms around him at one point, just before before the corner is taken. And Asa manages to get free of him and get to the near post where he arrives at just the right moment.
Yeah.
But the Taunton centre-back certainly did his best to make sure that didn't happen. But, yeah.
What a strike by McGavin.
Yeah.
What a strike by Brett McGavin. You will go a long, long way to see a better first-time hit from that range.
And it curled. We were right behind it from where we were behind the goal. It started. Yeah. It was almost...
Top quality.
Yeah. Super. What a good
He's got that, hasn't he? Some things he might need to work on, but he's got that.
How many scored this season? Is it eight?
Eight, I think it is.
Somebody said nine in the press box.
I think it's eight in the league and one in the cup or something like that.
And I don't suppose he's mishit.
Well, he hasn't
a single one.
Towed one in on the line, has he?
No. He hasn't scored from inside the box, either, has he? I don't think.
No, it's a great hit.
It was. But Taunton, of course, play Western tonight, as we're speaking, on Thursday night. If they lose, they're down, which I hope they're not, because I enjoyed my trip to Taunton on Tuesday. I'd like to go back there again. The atmosphere was good. The stewarding was good. A bit unfortunate that we all got kept in. We all got kept in for 10 minutes at the end, but I think that was just sheer numbers.
Too much. Yeah.
No. I'd like Taunton to stay up. Win or draw, they might stay up. It depends on Saturday. It's them or Hemel Hempstead to go down, isn't it? Or are Eastbourne still in the frame?
Eastbourne could still go.
They could still go down.
But the important thing is that we can't.
Because Hemel are playing Taunton.
And for future reference, that opens up, hopefully, an awful lot of better possibilities for next season, doesn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
It does.
Oh, next season.
Well, we're still in what you two guys have both written about it this week. It's a vacuum. There's no information coming. People are getting frustrated because they just, we don't know. Yeah. We've just heard from Aaron that contract talks with players, contract talks with youth team, of whom more in a moment, retained lists, think that the retained list is going to be very long, but retained lists and things like that just haven't been able to take place because nobody knows what's happening.
As far as I'm given to believe, there's only one player under contract for next season, which underlines what you've just been saying, Guy.
We're right in thinking that's Ethan Archer.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
And on the strength of Tuesday night, you know, that might be quite a promising prospect for next season, by the way. But look, we've got a final home game of the season on Saturday. All the restaurants sold out. They're gearing themselves up for a big gate.
Yeah.
Are the prospective owners seriously going to let Saturday come and go without saying something or giving the supporters something to go away for the summer with? Because if that happens, that's a little bit worrying, I think.
If it's all new ownership and it's somebody that we don't already know, then why wouldn't they say something before the last home game?
If the three of us, hopefully representing a few others, if the three of us were doing this, wouldn't we be saying to each other, hey, we've got to, you know, I've done a piece of today. They're not buying a garage or a corner shop or a recruitment agency. They're buying the town's football club, which has got a huge interest, which the previous regime has always found difficult or almost impossible to
comprehend,
or understand. And it's absolutely reliant on season ticket sales in the summer.
Yeah.
The non-stop interest which constantly surrounds this football club, despite the travails that it's been in for so long, you've got to use that. That's what part of the reason why you're buying it in the first place. Yep, why you're taking it on
absolutely.
In the first place.
But if you're somebody who hasn't been universally loved by the Plainmoor fans, would you
who
maybe
are you
wait?
Suggesting?
Maybe would you possibly wait until after the last home game to make an announcement? I don't know.
There's a lot of people in the fan base at the moment who are solid fans. I don't think they have any personal angst, anger against particular people on the football side. But you keep hearing this phrase, and I'm sure you two have heard it, and many of our listeners have heard it. A lot of people want a clean break and a new direction and a complete freshen up of the thing on and off the pitch. Now, that's sometimes more difficult to deliver than you'd think. I would certainly be keen to keep two or three of the current players, not because they're the greatest footballers in the world necessarily, but because I think it's important to have some sort of continuity in the dressing room.
That's the word, yep.
And I'd be offering Dean Moxey another year's contract now, even though he'll be 39 next season. I can't see any signs of his performance dropping
off. He's got another season at least.
At least I'd keep Asa Hall, despite his injury problems this season. He's finally found the position which I think several of us thought he should have been at
a little while ago.
Centre-back, so he hasn't got to run around in midfield all afternoon. and one or two others. And That needs to happen, you know, and so that you've got a base. People, I think, sometimes in football, they underestimate how important what happens in the dressing room and the culture, I hate that word, in the dressing room is. You know, for two, you've got to have some senior pros who set the tone in the dressing room, sort problems out, sort the little issues out, sort the youngsters out, etc., etc., etc. And if you haven't got those, you've got two already who are hugely respected by the rest of the players, I think it'd be a very silly thing to knowingly get rid of them without trying to keep them. But again, here we go. We don't even know who the manager is going to be next season.
No.
I mean, in these normal circumstances, a manager would have been in by now, or at least have been around, assessing the players, assessing the squad, with a view to the to handling the retained list himself.
Mm. Yeah,
I mean it's just a
well, as Aaron just said in his press conference when James Vickery asked him about that, he said, "I don't know.
No,
I can't. I'm not evading the question. No. I just don't know."
But with a retained list, the retained list is players who you have under contract, who you're choosing to hang on to, isn't it? And we only have one anyway.
Yeah, I see what I mean. So we've got a retained list of one.
We have a retained, list. Yeah. A retained list of one or zero, yeah. And we all think it should be one, yeah. Because there's a player in Ethan Archer who's only going to get better.
And inevitably, we're in the situation now, aren't they, where, as we've all talked about, you know, a vacuum of information, and vacuums will always try and fill themselves.
Yeah.
Is that you've got a situation where James Watt of Brewdog likes a post from one supporter, and immediately everybody gets two and two, adds two and two, and gets 6.5. Chris, and even on Saturday at Bath, people were taking photographs of the director's box at Twerton Park and zooming in.
Yeah.
John Jarvis, who's the United's a very good supporter of United's, for Chris Dawson. I was
looking in the car park for the yellow Lamborghini, but it wasn't there.
Yeah. So, but. People shouldn't be surprised at this.
No.
I've
detected a certain resentment from the top of the club that there is this interest and there is this speculation. But what do they expect?
Do they want the fans to sit down and be quiet?
It's incredible. And this is why people are always interested in Torquay and Torquay United. This is why there's a queue of managers all waiting to see what the situation is so they can try and get in here and take over the team, etc., etc. You know, if it was, with all due respect, you know, rag-ass Rovers, you know, in the South Devon League, no one would give a damn, would they? And that's,
I played for them.
With distinction, yeah.
But they can't say any longer that it's commercially sensitive either, because it isn't, because we have a preferred bidder.
Quite.
The preferred bidder has been identified.
Yeah. When you have a preferred bidder, that bidder is normally named.
Yeah.
It's an unusual situation.
Before we go...
it's an oven in here, by the way.
It is an oven in here, so we'll probably cut this short. I can't open the windows because you'll just hear the traffic outside.
Yeah, yeah.
Congratulations to the youth team, the under-16s, isn't it? They've won their league. They beat Yeovil 5-2. Congratulations to Kevin Wills and the teams there. The under-18s have got their cup final coming up on the 27th.
Which is another chance to come to Playmore as well.
That's, another chance to come to Playmore. Home to Bridgewater in that one. It did cross my mind that we've got this incredibly successful under-18 team. Are we going to see players coming through from there? Obviously, we've had Callum Thomas come through. Jake Wellington was on the bench again at Bath. P.S., not just saying this because I know his mum and dad, but I really thought he should have come on towards the end at Bath.
Aaron made a decision to throw Asa up front rather than bring on the youngster, didn't he? And I, in some ways you can see why he did that. But
it's a 50-50 call, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really? But are we getting the best out of these players? Are we bringing these players through? Should we be taking a punt on more of these youth players? What do you think?
I think one of the problems is that United's youth team, at the under-18 team, is playing at a level below what they need to be playing at.
Yeah, they're winning
everything.
With
all due respect to the Southwest Counties Youth League, it's not the level that the Exeter Cities and the Plymouth Argyle under-18s are playing at. So that's a big issue. We've all talked about the lack of funding from above when you're in the National League. So for me, a couple of the things that Clark Osborne did and has delivered on over his time is, A, invest quite a lot of money in a bloody good pitch, and two, funded the youth scheme, the academy, or helped to fund it anyway, and I think that's, you know, thank goodness for that. You also, at every single youth team game, there is a gaggle of 4, 5, sometimes 6, I've seen over there, scouts from other clubs wanting to take a look at the best of our kids, because they know that if United don't manage to get them to sign a contract at 17, they can walk away for nothing.
Yep.
Yeah. Which happened, didn't it, with the goalkeeper?
Which happened with Matt Wanacott.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, Dan Lavercombe, who obviously played against us on Tuesday night, because they managed to get him to sign a deal under Chris Hargreaves at 17 years old, Wigan ended up having to pay £30,000 for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the worry. If you were an owner of Torquay, these are the rules that cover our under-18 team as it stands, and it's very frustrating for people like, you know, Kevin Wills, Chris Todd before him, Ryan Dixon, and Robbie Herrera, who's the head of youth, that the club is so vulnerable in this respect. But no, Jacob Wellington is very highly regarded. But having said that, I've had several old contacts and scouts from other clubs ringing me up, asking me, what do you think of Jacob Wellington, Dave? I go, oh, goodness sake, don't nick him off us as well.
So he's catching the eye. These lads are catching the eye.
You've got Kai Swan there as well. Yeah. You've got Thomas Chastie.
Thomas Chastie's been involved, hasn't he?
There is another good crop coming through.
Yeah.
And all credit to the coaching staff and those boys for having, you know, got themselves to the level they're at. It's just a big, big step from South West County's under 18 to the National League first team.
But have we got another Ollie Watkins there? Who is the greatest one that got away, isn't he?
There you are. And Kiefer Moore as
well.
And I mean, even players like Matt Jay, who, you know, would have been on the radar for Torquay at that age. You know, he built a decent career at Exeter.
And well done to Ollie for turning up at Gloucester the other night.
He was there, isn't he?
To cheer his, he's a Newton Abbott lad, isn't he? And
good to see.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. I'm going to release you from this this oven here. Richard, you look as if you're going to pass out.
I'm sweating.
It's been cold, it's been wet, and now we're complaining that it's too hot. There's just no pleasing us, is there?
Thank you. That's another Chaz and Dave one.
Thank you, David. Thank you for joining us. You've got an appointment with the Retro Gulls any second now.
Yep.
And we're just going to get some fresh air. Thank you, Yellow Army. Thanks for listening. And we'll finish, as we always do, Come on, you yellows. Three-part harmonies, boys. Well done.
Come on, you yellows. Flying high below the Wembley Archway sky today. Come on, you yellows. Full of pride, buckle up.